If you'll open up your spiritual ears this morning, I believe that God will direct some of you, challenge some of you, and help some of you. I feel constrained by the Holy Ghost to preach this. So if you will, open up your ears. 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning in verse 20. When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. She called her husband and said, "Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again." And he said, "Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It's neither the new moon nor Sabbath." And she said, "It shall be well." And she saddled an ass and said to her servant, "Drive, and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee." So she went and came to the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, 'Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child?'" And she answered, "It is well." When she came to the man of God in the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and has not told me." I want to preach to you this morning a message that I have titled, "Days of Trouble." You may be seated. If you go back to verse 8 of this same chapter in 2 Kings, you will read where the Bible describes this Shunammite woman as a great woman, which means that she was of a high rank in the community. She was most probably rich. She had everything she needed and probably anything that she could possibly want. We do not know her name, but we do know that she was a great woman. And yet the Bible tells us that she is faced with unimaginable sorrow. She is faced with the horror of her child dying. You see, the word clearly shows us that it does not matter how long that you have lived for God. It does not matter how holy you consider yourself to be or how great your reputation is among people. You can bank on this one truth, that trouble is going to come to your life. I feel that the Lord has directed me to speak to three different possibilities that are represented here in this room. I will either be presently speaking to where you are right now in your life, or I'm speaking to the power of your mind in the future when trouble brings the questions that nearly knock the breath out of you. Or I am to prepare you and remind you of the strength that your own emotions can have when trouble comes your way. We know that trouble happens because there was a fall in the garden at the very beginning and because of the conflict between right and wrong. But somehow, if you'll hear me this morning, somehow along the way, we've come to this conclusion that as Christians, you should be able to just rebuke trouble and it will have to go away. But if I can just rebuke everything, then I don't have to be anything. Now don't get me wrong, let me just preach right there for just a minute. In this hour that we live in, everyone wants everything instantly. We want things now. We want things handed to us. Most of us in this current generation do not really know about being proven because so many things are instantly and easily handed to us. Being something takes effort. Being and becoming something takes time. Being something requires something from you. This instant gratification mentality that has consumed us without us even realizing it has been detrimental to the spiritual proving grounds that so many of those old-time prayer warriors knew about when they would pray through. They knew about having to walk through. The instant mindset of our culture has acted as a detriment to the spiritual climate of a huge majority of our churches these days. There is a spiritual stench that rises when we see some of the things that are named after the name of Christ these days, only to find out further down the road that those people who were naming themselves after Christ end up confessing with their own mouths of not being able to stand through the days that trouble came and brought to their life. They end up failing miserably when the trouble came, and they put the name of Christ to an open shame and walked away from the truth. If you think that all you have to do is go to church and say boo to the devil when he comes your way, when adversity and the days of trouble begin, you've got another thing coming this morning. As a child of God, you can just go ahead and expect that days of trouble are going to happen, and they are going to require you to choose on some days. I said choose on some days to keep on standing when you have already done everything in your power to stand. And because you are a child of God, trouble likes to come along and shake you up and make you feel like you are nothing, because the enemy would tell you that if you were somebody, then God would have helped you by now. I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Please understand, I am not talking about trouble that we openly invite into our lives by disobedience to the Word of God. But if you are living for God with your heart and soul and mind and strength, like the majority of us are in this room, and you are trying with everything that's in you to live according to the Word of God, Satan loves it when you handle trouble in a way that wraps you up in self-condemnation, or when you begin to think that you must have done something terrible that you weren't even aware of, because by then you get wrapped up in that and you cannot pray, you cannot sing, you can't even find your strength to rejoice in the Lord and wait on Him to be the strength that you need to carry you on through the days of trouble. The real truth of the matter is, you let Jesus walk into any situation, and you can guarantee there is going to be a war. Satan hates Jesus. You invite Jesus in, and you've automatically got a war on your hands between good and evil. Now, if you're taking notes, here's point number one.
Preach.
Remind yourself that God is with you in trouble. The Lord did not say that He would make sure that we never have a day of trouble if we were His, but His Word does say in Psalms chapter 91, you know that psalm probably better than any of the rest of them, Psalms chapter 91, He that dwells in the secret, you know.
That's right.
Psalms 91 and 15, the Bible says, I will be with Him in trouble. I know that we are not all in the same place in our lives. We are not robots. We are not living out a cookie-cutter kind of walk with God. We have different things going on at different times. And what we have to realize is that trouble will come along many times for a reason. And one of those reasons is so that God can prove His people. If this was not true, then there would be no reason for God to tell us that He will be with us in trouble. If there was no proving ground in this Christian life, then the Bible would have said, I will make all trouble disappear from your life so you don't have to fight anything. God is not going to cast aside every trouble for us, but what He expects us to do is put on an armor that He gave us and walk through it. A lot of Christians have never established a true and deep testimony because they will not persevere. They have never walked through trouble until God proved Himself to them. Most of the time, we come in, we get saved, we feel glorious, and 6 months down the road, you walk into the first stages of trouble and say, nope, not going to do this. I shouldn't have to do this. But I came to encourage you today, go through it. Do not throw your hands up and say, it's not worth the fight. I came in here this morning to tell you, keep going, because on the other side of trouble there's something called a testimony that might sound cliche to you this morning if you are in the middle of trouble right now. But how many of you know how much power there is in a man or a woman that has a testimony of how God helped them through their trouble? Testimony has the ability to literally change somebody else's life. Testimony has the power to prove the faithfulness of God to somebody who's just clinging to the last thread of hope that they've got. A testimony has the strength in it to fortify a bunch of soldiers who are worn out and wounded in the battle. It's not cliche, it's truth. You can be feeling down and defeated and see no way out, no way through it. And some brother or sister, maybe not even the preacher or the one that you consider to be the strongest, but some brother or sister or little grandma in the church comes along and they tell you how God helped them through their trouble when they were facing an impossible situation. They come along beside you and they give you a "but God was with them and carried them through." And suddenly a glimmer of hope comes alive inside of you to remember that God is with you and the power is in His hand to help you through the trouble.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Remind yourself right now, in this moment, that God is with you in trouble. When you cannot see the evidence of His presence and you cannot feel Him, you take control of that self, that mind, and declare with your own mouth to your own self that in spite of it all, I know that you are with me. Why? Because your word told me that you were, and I'm building my life on the word that is immovable and unchangeable. Woo! Number one, remind yourself that God is with you in trouble. Number two, don't let your trouble become chaos.
Amen.
Don't ever allow Satan the benefit on the battlefield of blinding you to the hand of God.
Come on.
Psalms 37 and 39 says, "But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble." Now we like to quote, "Salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is my strength." But that scripture says He is their strength in the time of trouble. That means you've got trouble on your hands. And your enemy works overtime to make your days of trouble become chaotic. The definition of chaos is complete disorder and confusion. And if your enemy can wreak havoc in your mind, whenever days of trouble come your way and cause you to walk around in disorder and confusion, it can make it very hard for you to actually go through the trouble. That is why many will not stick. This is why so many who have come to God end up laying down their weapons, because their enemy was able to wreak havoc in their mind. I said it becomes very hard to find faith in the middle of chaos, to find faith in the middle of complete disorder and confusion. Remember when the storm hit the sea that the disciples were on. It was impossible for them to find faith in the middle of that chaos. But when they realized that Jesus was still with them in the storm, and they heard the word that Jesus spoke to their confusion, the Bible says their faith rose to a level that it had never reached before. When they remembered that the Son of God was still with them in the storm, they suddenly looked at Him and said, "Surely this man is the Son of God." I came to tell you that Jesus still speaks to storms. He still speaks in the middle of your storm. What are you feeding yourself on in the middle of your trouble? Because you need to realize that what you are feeding yourself has the power to make you or break you. And this is where you need to just hold on to your seats, because it might get a little sticky and tacky right here. And you can love me afterwards, because I came to you with a word from the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
If you are constantly feeding yourself on the fact that you feel terrible, the sadness is overwhelming, the fact that nothing is going right, you can't deal with it anymore, you can't focus, you can't understand, you can't, and it becomes more you, that is what's going to keep growing on the inside of you, and that will make your days of trouble turn into a chaotic mess in your mind until, you listen to me, until you are funneling everything and even everyone else around you through your trouble. Even those who have no idea what is going on in your life, you are funneling them through your trouble, because that's what you're feeding yourself on. Case in point, their glance was suddenly taken the wrong way when it had nothing to do with you. They simply had a headache and were trying to see straight. Their lack of patting you on the back or shaking your hand suddenly becomes all about you, instead of realizing that they had so much going on in their day that they did not realize that you were putting so much weight on their every move and expression. Do you see what I mean? Your enemy will take your trouble and try to make it so chaotic until not even the people who love you most can get to you, because you've made every action that you've seen them do all about you. Come on, folks. We're in the same army, on the same team. And I'm telling you by the knowledge of the Holy Ghost this morning, that some of you need to release some of your brothers and sisters from the need to walk on eggshells around you, simply because you are measuring their every move by your trouble. It's just the enemy trying to turn your feelings into chaos. Realize it for what it is. Call it for what it is. But just hold on, because I've got some good news for you. If you are feeding yourself on faith, and you're hearing the word of God this morning, and you're hearing those around you who are investing faith and they're investing hope, and you're feeding yourself on the Son of God and feeding yourself on worship, even if you don't feel like worshiping, then you will find yourself actually going through the trouble, and you will find yourself appreciating the brothers and sisters that God has placed around you in your life, and you will let them take you by the arm and help you through the trouble.
Yeah. Praise Jesus.
Remind yourself that God is with you in trouble. His word said that he was. Number two, don't you allow that trouble to become chaos. See it for what it is this morning. And number three, stay on the alert. Trouble can surprise you. It's amazing where trouble comes from. Yeah. Think about it. The object of that Shunammite woman's trouble that day was her gift from God.
Yeah. Come on, yeah. Come on.
That's right. Yeah. That precious little boy is where her trouble came from. Yeah. If God has placed miracles in your life, stay on guard. Guard that marriage with prayer and accountability. Guard those children with prayer and the word of God. Guard that reputation and that testimony very carefully. The Shunammite woman didn't say a lot about her trouble. She was wise enough not to talk it up and be consumed by it. You hear me? She was wise enough not to talk it up. She was wise enough not to be consumed by it. But instead, she headed straight for the one who gave her the word in the first place that she was going to have a son. Do you see the picture? When the trouble hit, she immediately went looking for the one who had spoken the word to her instead of putting her own mouth full of words on the situation.
Yeah, that's good.
The day devil doesn't know what you think he knows, and if you don't tell him, he still won't know.
That's right. That's right.
Don't speak it. Don't speak it. That's right.
We do not have an omnipresent, omniscient, all-knowing devil. We have an omnipresent, omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful God who you can tell everything to.
Yes, that's right.
Don't give that devil more credit than he should have.
Amen. Amen.
When you are going through trouble, your enemy wants to get a hold of it and turn it into chaos. So many times it's best to just go ahead and keep that mouth shut. When we put our mouths on something, it generally becomes a fast opportunity for complaining rather than speaking the word of God in faith. The Shunammite woman did not make any quick conclusions about her trouble either. She left that in the hands of God. She did not start summarizing and evaluating all of the whys and the hows and what did I do wrong and how could God allow this and I must have done something terrible down along the way that I forgot to ask for forgiveness for, and because of that, God's doing this to me, and I don't know what I did to deserve it. She didn't do that. She governed her emotions until she reached the man of God. She did not even talk about it with the servant of the man of God.
Yes, right. That's it. Amen.
There are a lot of I'll pray for yous out there that end up actually being, I'm going to put in my 2 cents on why this has happened to you. Did you notice that the Shunammite story, when she did get to the man of God and began pouring out her heart, the Bible says that the servant, Gehazi, came running up, ready to push her away from the man of God, all because he did not understand what was going on. The Shunammite didn't talk it up. She just took her trouble, put it on the man of God's bed. She shut the door behind her, and she headed to the one who had given her a blessed life, which now had become a troubled life. You hear? I said she headed to the one who had given her a blessed life, which had now become a troubled life. And she knew that if she could just reach him, everything would be well with her.
Yes. Yes.
I've got a lot of stuff laid on those altars that others will never, ever, ever know about.
Yeah.
I've laid it there in the lap of God, and I shut the door. One of the most difficult things for us to do when we have trouble is to lay it down in the hands of God and shut the door on our will and our emotions. I'm learning constantly to take things straight to the source of the Word of God, to not put my trouble out there on the clothesline. I'm endeavoring to feed myself with His promises and keep my enemy from turning trouble into chaos in my mind. I remind myself that the Word of God says He has prepared a table for me right there in the middle of the presence of all of my enemies. I'm constantly learning over and over and over through life to put trouble in a safe place. That way it doesn't have the power to consume me. If I can reach Him, no matter what would try to throw me to the side, no matter who would try to throw me to the side, I know that it is well, whatever the outcome is. I've had trouble days in my life. As many of you remember me sharing years ago, about 7 years ago, the miscarriage of our first baby, which was extremely hard. Unbelievably hard for this mind to deal with. So you can, and I was still preaching, and I was still ministering and pouring out to people, and yet I'm going through myself. So you can imagine how excited we were when we found out Logan was on the way. And everything was going just fine. Here I've got a miracle, a blessing from the Lord. And everything was going fine until suddenly one day, about 10 weeks into that pregnancy, the doctor's office called me and said, some of your initial tests came back abnormal. We need you to come back in so we can do more tests. They were using big words that I had never heard before. I'm driving down the road with Mama Loretta in the passenger seat on the phone, and I'm hearing words that I have never, I said, I'm sorry, I don't understand what that word was. I've never even heard it. What are you talking about? They were using words that I knew included biopsy, which generally refers to something that they think is cancerous. And all of a sudden, without warning, my happy blessing has been flooded with what appears to be trouble. And at that moment, my peace was totally shaken. My mind is reeling with questions. I'm suddenly and without any warning consumed by a storm cloud. I was driving into Fort Smith at the time, Mama Loretta. She began to pray, but I became very quiet, almost reeling internally over what I've just been told. And I was halfway to Fort Smith going across that bridge, across the river, when the Spirit of God tapped me on the head and said these words to me: "If you really trust me like you say you trust me, then you have no reason to worry."
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, just as quickly as my trouble had come, the peace of God began to flood back into my heart.
Thank you, Lord.
Because I knew that He was with me in my trouble.
Yes.
We walked back into that doctor's office a week later to be told that all of the secondary tests came back fine.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Some of the scars that I have from trouble, I needed them.
Yes. Yes.
They proved me.
Mm-hmm.
They proved God to me. We can say that we are a lot of things, but your own level of determination will be revealed to you when trouble comes your way. Trouble, though it sounds impossible, can change our direction for you. There is a war for your faith, and the enemy wants nothing more than to bring weakness to you in the middle of trouble. Your enemy wants nothing more than for you to start beating yourself up.
Right.
Because if you beat yourself up, nobody else has to.
Right.
And you can beat yourself down into a dark hole that nobody can pull you out of until you get a hold of yourself.
Uh-huh.
Come on. Come on.
Would you stand with me this morning? God has promised to be with you in trouble. God's promise. And we're standing on His promises this year. God has promised to be with you in trouble. And you've got an enemy that has promised to try to weaken and destroy you in trouble.
Come on.
You remember when Satan came before God, walking up and down in the earth, and God initiated the conversation like this: "Have you considered Job?" God wanted to prove something to Satan.
Yeah.
That His man would not speak against Him. And Satan wanted to prove to God that Job was only serving Him because everything was good and right in his life. So I want to ask you the question today: who is going to be proven right in your life? God or your enemy?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. It's up to us, like the Shunammite woman, to lay our trouble in the lap of God and let Him do the rest. In your mind, you know there's trouble in it, but in your spirit, you know it is well.
Yeah, it is well.
Remind yourself God's with you in trouble. Don't let that trouble become chaos. Stay on the alert, because trouble can surprise you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, some of us need to lay some things in the lap of God and shut the door. Some of us need to go back to the source of the word, and some of us need to ask God to help our spiritual life not to be inundated by an instant gratification mentality. My prayer here today is, prove me, Lord. I want to be able to stand. Not only in the days of trouble that come to me personally, But I want to stand firm in the evil days that are upon us. If I'm preaching to you, would you lift your hand this morning and let God speak to your life? All over this house, hands are going up. Now, all over this room, whether you raise your hand or not, would you come and find yourself a place to kneel before God? Say, Lord, I'm laying my trouble in your lap. I'm laying my trouble at your feet.